Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." Stunned by what they had seen, what they had heard, they stood motionless and in silence. And the angel said to them, "April Fool." But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped in to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain. One at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I will take him away." And Jesus looked at this trembling, tearful woman and said, "April Fool, I'm really the gardener. I did remove his body. He has not risen." Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead, or is it a sick April Fool joke? A malicious, practical prank, tricking people into believing that Jesus rose from the dead when he didn't. Thomas was smart. You remember Doubting Thomas? He wasn't with the disciples in the beginning. And the disciples came to him and told him that they had seen the risen Savior. And he says, "You're not going to make an April Fool out of me. I'm not going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I have to see it. I have to put my fingers in his hands. I have to put my hand in his side. You're not going to get me to bite on this." Did Jesus rise from the dead or didn't he? Either he did or he didn't. There's no middle ground here. Do you believe that he has risen from the dead? Are you sure? How does his resurrection affect what you do tomorrow? Well, you believe in Jesus. You believe he rose from the dead. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? The passage that Tom read from Colossians, I want to focus on just one verse right now. And it is a warning and an exhortation that the Apostle Paul gave to the Colossian church who had been infiltrated by false teachers, philosophers. And these people were teaching a wrong doctrine and leading people astray. Here's what he says in verse 8. "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, as according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. He's writing this to the church, to people who believe in God, to people who are following Jesus Christ. You see, Paul understands how Satan works to deceive us. And he uses the things of the world to convince us that Christianity is wrong, that everything about it is a myth. It's fiction. And there are people who have been raised in the church who have gone to Christmas and Easter and all the services, who have been baptized, who are even members of the church, who get swept away by these false doctrines. Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah, I know that's what we do on Easter. But what difference does it make that he rose from the dead? How does his resurrection give you hope? How does his resurrection help you deal with death, with serious illnesses, with marital breakups? Does his resurrection have anything to do with our daily life? Sometimes we have been pulled away from the truth of Scripture by the ways of the world, and we're not even aware of it. Satan is very subtle. A worldview, a philosophy that is so prominent in the world today is secular humanism. And secular humanism says that you are the center of all things. And your purpose in life is to get all the pleasure you can and to avoid all the pain that you can. And it's up to you to do this because there's no real God. You're your own God. You make the rules. And your goals are primarily materialistic. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to work. This is what I'll sacrifice to get. And God is out of the picture completely. And yet we'll say, yeah, we believe in a resurrection. While at the same time, who is taking us down a pathway to darkness. Young people in middle school, in high school, in college, going to college, take seriously what Paul says. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. See to it. Be on guard. Because these institutions are teaching you a secular mindset, a secular worldview. God is dead. God is not going to be there for you because God is not real. Oh, I'll never fall for that. So many freshmen come back from college on Thanksgiving and say, I'm not going to church tonight because I'm not doing that gig anymore. But you were raised in the church. You know differently. Yeah, but our professors are telling us this. Our teachers are telling us that. And I'm not into that anymore. So if you want to go to church, if you want to go to church on Easter, fine. Where are we going to have brunch? I'll meet you there. Because I don't believe in the resurrection the way you do. I don't believe in God. So you have to be careful what you're being taught, what you're seeing on the internet, what you're watching on TV, in the movies, the blogs, the Facebook articles, all of that stuff. You have to be thinking through, what is this that is being taught to me, and how does it line up with Scripture? That's how you can discern whether or not it's true or not. This is God's Word, It is inerrant. There's no errors in this Bible because God wrote it. There's no mistakes. It doesn't grow old. It has standards that are eternal. If you want to know how to live, this is your source, your base of authority. This is what you want to live by, the truth. And if you hear things like, well, God didn't create the universe, it was just this big bang and everything fell into place. It's like there was an explosion in a print shop and out came the Webster Dictionary. Jesus was not born of a virgin. Jesus was not God. Jesus didn't really die on the cross. Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. That's what you'll be given as a steady diet. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. I'm going to give you an article, a summary of an article I found on the internet this week that I think will illustrate my point here. Dr. Tat Siong Benny Liu, Chair of New Testament Studies at the College of Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts, made these bizarre, even blasphemous claims about Jesus Christ. Now, Holy Cross is a Catholic school. Here's what the department head wrote. Jesus Christ was a drag king who had queer desires. He claimed that the Last Supper was a literary striptease because Jesus disrobed and robed as he washed his disciples' feet. He goes on to write that Jesus Christ was not a man, but gender fluid. The heretical professor cited the Gospel of John to back his arguments. He claims that Jesus' crucifixion was an attempt to try to show the passion of Christ was really a homosexual bonding of the Father and the Son. The distinguished professor at this Jesuit college continues to be held up as an example and bold successor to the learned and discerning tradition of Holy Cross. Why is he still teaching there? The professor writes that Jesus was not only the king of Israel, the king of the Jews, he was also a drag queen king, as presented in the Gospel of John. That's what's being taught. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. You know, we Christians need to wake up and realize that outside the bubble we live in, there is an awful lot of lying going on that is affecting our world, and especially the next generations. Christ's resurrection is not an April Fool's joke. Scholars have been teaching that it has been a joke for centuries. Scholars teach that Jesus never really died on the cross. He just swooned. He was unconscious. He didn't really die. He swooned and was later revived in the tomb. The hypothesis goes on to say that Jesus deliberately faked his death using drugs provided by Luke. Jesus was then resuscitated by Joseph of Arimathea in the tomb. That's what's being taught. The biggest proponent of the swoon hypothesis is a Muslim preacher, Ahmad. He argues that Jesus was in a swoon similar to Jonah being in the belly of the great fish. He uses Scripture to deny that Jesus rose from the dead. Deuteronomy 21:3, in fact, which says that a hanged man is cursed by God. And that God would never allow one of his true prophets to be brutally killed in such a degrading manner as crucifixion. So don't believe in Jesus is the point he's making. The truth is that according to the Bible, God's holy word, his perfect word, Jesus Christ is God, who was made man and was crucified for sinners like me and you under Pontius Pilate, suffered and died and was buried. And on the third day, he physically rose again from the grave. The truth is that Jesus Christ experienced physical death, and physically he rose from the dead. And that is no April Fool's joke. There are eyewitnesses to his resurrection. 1 Corinthians, 15, verse 1 following. Paul writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you sustained, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you." If you hold fast. "Unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins." He didn't swoon. He died. "In accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some who have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." People saw him, and yet there are those that refuse to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And there are those who say, "Yeah, that's what the church teaches. I could go along with it. I'll show up for church. But his resurrection means nothing to me. It's not going to help me deal with my life. Jesus Christ, what's he going to do for me?" Well, the good news is that Jesus Christ has died to save us from condemnation. He has died to save us from eternal punishment in hell. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus came out of love for each one of us. Do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that he died for you? You know that? Why did he do that? Why did he love you? What did you do to deserve that kind of grace? Absolutely nothing. We are sinners. There's nothing good in us. Even our best days are disasters in God's eyes. And what I mean by that is morally, spiritually, nothing we do is without sin. So why did God send his Son to save us from our sins? Simply because he loved us. Everybody else in this world may hate us, may be against us, but not Jesus. He is for us. So he leaves his throne in glory in heaven. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfect life, perfect obedience to God the Father. He never broke any of God's laws. He never sinned. He never told a lie. He never lusted after a woman. He never disobeyed his Father. He was perfectly righteous. He comes from heaven to do what? To take our sin on him and to offer a sacrifice for our sin to the Father so that we would not receive the punishment of our sin. The wages of sin is death. We all face eternal death. We all face eternal punishment. But God so loved us, He sent His Son. And His Son said, I will take your sin on me. And I will go to the cross. And I will suffer the punishment that you deserve. I will go to that cross. And I will go to hell so that you don't have to. And on the cross, He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's when God the Father withdrew from His Son. And His Son experienced broken fellowship with the Father. And that means He was in hell for all of us. We all need a Savior. Who's your Savior? Who are you going to turn to? Because we know we can't make it on our own. Who are we going to turn to that said and say to, you got to take care of my sins. I want to go to heaven. But I don't know if I'm going to be good enough to get in there. Who can help me out? Who can put a good word in for me? Who can tell God all the good things that I've done and balance the scales in my favor? Who can do that? Nobody. But Jesus says, I will take the punishment that they deserve on the cross. That's why He died. And He says, the Bible tells us that when He took our sin, He gave us, those who believe in Him, His righteousness. You know, His sinlessness is that comes to us as we believe in Him. So we give Jesus our sin. He gives us His righteousness. And His righteousness changes our relationship with God. Instead of being enemies of God, we become His children. Instead of facing a future of paying off the debt of our sins by going to hell, since He's already gone there for us, we are given access to heaven. To spend eternity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a sinless place. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what the cross is all about. And you say, well, how do you know that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross satisfied God's justice and took away His anger? I saw pictures the other day of people hanging on crosses, reenacting the crucifixion. And there's the pictures. They're being crucified. That's ridiculous. You can hang on a cross all the time. You're still going to die and go to hell because you can't save yourself. You can't atone for your own sins. This is why Jesus is the only Savior. God wouldn't accept your sacrifice, but He accepts His sacrifice. And how do we know that? Because He raised Him from the grave. That's what today's all about. There's victory today because Jesus has conquered sin. Jesus has conquered the power of sin, the penalty of sin. Jesus has conquered death. Jesus has conquered Satan and all the schemes of Satan. He's destroyed them. They no longer have power over us. We no longer enslaved by sin and the power of sin. We're no longer enslaved by fear of, boy, when I die, I hope I'm good enough to get into heaven. What do I have to do now? Go to church today? Do I have to give money? What do I have to do to get right with God? None of that works. There's only one thing. Faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? This is no April Fool joke. This is serious. Your whole eternity depends on what your relationship is to God. And that relationship is dependent on whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ. I know I'm going to offend somebody with this, but I got to speak the truth.
The only fool on April 1st is the person who does not believe in Jesus Christ. And why are they a fool? Because they have to deal with their sin themselves. And what that means is, I got to go to hell for eternity to pay off my debt to God. Jesus has already paid that debt off. No, I'm not going to trust in Him. I'm going to do it my way. I'm the man. You're not a man until you meet the man, Jesus. So my prayer today for everyone here is that we, by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit, will come to trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. To trust that His resurrection is not an April Fool joke. To trust in what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If Christ did not rise from the dead, we're wasting our time here. I'm wasting my breath, and you're going to be late for brunch. Really, that's what it's saying. In fact, it goes deeper than that. If Christ has not been raised, we are even found to be misrepresenting God. I'm actually lying to you if Christ has not been risen. I'm telling you things about Him that aren't true if we don't believe in the resurrection. Because we testify that God has raised Christ, but if God did not raise Christ, then He is still dead, and we're still dead in our trespasses, and we have no future. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If we have trusted in Christ for salvation and it's not true, we are of all people to be most pitied. Because we believed the lie. We were all April fools. We were all played a trick on. If Christ wasn't raised. But He has been raised. And because He has been raised, we can face whatever comes at us in the days ahead. We can face God face to face on Judgment Day and have eternal life, be rewarded with life in heaven. We become an heir of Christ when we believe in Christ. We have hope. I've thought about this and researched it quite a bit. And I've come to this conclusion. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, you're not a Christian. Because the Scripture says you're still in your sin. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Our faith is in vain. We're not pardoned from our sin if we don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. But if we do, and this is my prayer, if we do, then just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too will be raised to eternal life with Him. So it's really coming down to this question and how you're going to answer it today. Do you believe in the risen Savior or don't you? Have you been held captive by the world view that is prominent in our society. That you're at the center of your universe. You make the rules. You are your own God. That you can go to church on Easter and Holy Week and wave palms and all this, but it really makes no difference in how you live your life. We can say one thing with our lips, but we can be practical atheists with our lives. So what are you? What do you believe? My prayer is that everyone will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now and be saved. That everyone, each one of you, will have Christ in his heart, in her heart, because you've trusted in him, in his death to take care of your sin and make you right with God. That in his resurrection you are justified. That you're adopted into his family. That he is your heavenly Father. And that he puts a new spirit in your soul. And that you walk with him each and every day. Going where he wants you to go. Doing what he wants you to do. Do you believe? Has Christ come into your heart? Have you been born again by the Holy Spirit? This is what it boils down to. This is what the gospel is all about. Do you believe God's way, or are you convinced that your way is best? Right now, right here, that can all change when you trust Christ. And you can leave here as a new person. A person who loves God with all their heart, mind, and soul. A person who is freed from guilt. Who's been pardoned for all their crimes, all their sins. Who's been forgiven. Who has been set free. And who has been transferred from the darkness into the light. That can happen right now. And it happens through a prayer. A prayer of faith. I'm going to pray that prayer. But you can pray in your own ways. But it all boils down to praying that God will give you the faith to trust in him as Lord and Savior. Let's pray.